Israel's ordered the closure of Al Jazeera operations inside the country after a cabinet vote. Last month, the Israeli parliament approved a law that allowed a ban on broadcast channels the government considers a threat to national security.
Al Jazeera presenter Maryam Namazi announced during a broadcast on Sunday the news of the Israeli government's vote to shut down the local offices of the Qatar-owned broadcaster. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said on Sunday that his government has voted unanimously to shut down Al Jazeera offices in Israel following rising tensions. This escalates Israel's long-running feud with the channel at a time when ceasefire negotiations with Hamas, mediated by Qatar, are gaining steam. Hamas leaders held a second day of truce talks with Egyptian and Qatari mediators on Sunday, with no apparent progress reported, as the Islamist group maintained its demand that any agreement must end the war in Gaza, Palestinian officials said. One Palestinian official close to the mediation effort said the Hamas delegation had arrived in Cairo with a determination to reach a deal, but not at any price. Israel wants a deal to free at least some of the around 130 hostages held by Hamas, but an Israeli official signaled on Saturday that its core position was unchanged, saying Israel would under no circumstances agree a deal to end the war, which it has pursued with the aim of disarming and dismantling Hamas for good. The war began after Hamas stunned Israel with a cross-border raid on October 7, in which 1,200 people were killed and 252 hostages taken, according to Israeli officials. More than 34,600 Palestinians have been killed and more than 77,000 have been wounded in the Israeli assault. This is VOA News. Police in the U.S. Capitol say a driver died after crashing a vehicle into the outer perimeter gate of the White House. AP correspondent Jackie Quinn has more.
Authorities say it's being treated as a traffic incident, and there was no threat to the White House. President Biden wasn't there, spending the weekend at his home in Delaware. Police were called to the intersection of Pennsylvania Avenue and 15th Street Saturday night, where they found the driver, a man, dead inside the vehicle, which had crashed into a security barrier. I'm Jackie Quinn.
Chad's election on Monday is almost certain to result in victory for transitional president and military leader Mohamed Idriss Déby, some analysts say. In the run-up to the vote, authorities have cracked down on the media and opposition leaders have been kept off the ballot. Despite that, experts say Chad will remain an important ally of Western security efforts in the Sahel region. Henry Wilkins reports.
Mohamed Idriss Déby came to power after his father, Idriss Déby Itno, was killed on the front lines of Chad's war against the rebel insurgency in 2021. He appointed himself transitional leader and military ruler, a move critics say was unconstitutional. If Déby wins Chad's elections on May 6th, as analysts expect him to, he will legitimise his rule and become civilian president. Meanwhile, prominent members of the opposition party have been banned from appearing on the ballot and say speaking out against the government is risky. Media reported on April 25th that US troops would leave, at least temporarily, or until the election is over. The US began pulling its 100 military personnel from the country in early May. Henry Wilkins, VOA News.
Protesters left a pro-Palestinian encampment at the University of Southern California early Sunday after they were surrounded by police and told they might face arrest if they didn't go. The move days before commencement events are set to begin on the Los Angeles campus came after the university said campus safety officers, assisted by Los Angeles Police Department, were clearing the area and that anyone not complying would be arrested. A parliamentarian from Uganda's ruling National Resistance Movement has rejected calls by the opposition for Western nations to impose sanctions on President Museveni, his son, and other top leaders of the administration. David Kabanga says calls for more sanctions are misplaced. His remarks come after Robert Kyagulanyi, popularly known as Bobby Wine, called for sanctions on senior government officials for human rights abuses and corruption. In Washington, Nabil Biagio,